Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Monday, January 21st of 2019. Now, I was writing in my notes today, and I forgot to put down MLK. I'm going to take a minute. After I do, you know, give the phone number and that, the first thing I'm going to get to is for a couple minutes kind of discuss, you know, a couple things that Martin Luther King said. And, you know, was he a Christian? Wasn't he? So, we're going to discuss that a little bit tonight. We do have some other things we're going to discuss as well. Like, about how this past weekend I was at the North American Auto Show, and I will tell you kind of what that was like. A word from McDonald's about a couple of things coming out near the end of the month, as well as after that, we're going to get into the Word of God, and we're going to talk about Samuel a bit. After that, we have sports to talk about, including, by the way, what happened with Michigan this weekend, and football. All that is generally what is on the agenda for this evening. So as you can tell, folks, it's going to be a packed night. We're going to be all over the road. MLK, cars, Samuel, and McDonald, Samuel, Faith, Sports. So, yeah, a lot of different things. So, with that, I really want to thank you for joining. I pray that God blesses you. I firmly pray that God blesses you being a part of the show tonight, wherever you may be, whatever device you may be on. That's our hope. So, this is going to be a brief how-to because, like I said, I have a ton of content. And what you do is go to blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. After that, you see a link that says Live and Live. Click on that link, please. And you'll see a little bubble. It says Miracle Man. Click on that bubble. And you'll see a button that says Follow Button. Smash that baby, please. Because then, once you do that, you're going to start getting notified as we get ready to do our show. For example, tomorrow night at 6:30 will be our next show. After that, Wednesday. And praise God, we'll just go from there and just keep charging on. We have a telephone number where you can call in and you can talk to me, the Miracle Man. And generally, The one rule is that we have is that we don't talk about politics. I know tonight we will talk about Martin Luther King for a few minutes, but he was a hero. So, but that's the only politics, the closest thing to it that you're going to get from me tonight. That's it. He was great. But from that, generally, we don't really take time. The telephone number to call in and be a part is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that's 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, and then go ahead and please press 1. When you hear the prompt, that press 1. You'll go through a call screener, and then my assistant, Annie, will let me know that we have a caller calling in. You'll want to give her your name and where you're from so that I can best identify you. And then I'll say something like, what say you? And then once I say that, you have the floor. You can thank me. And I always give you the right to criticize me, ask me questions. You know, where'd you come up with that? Or whatever. Yeah, you have that right. We can discuss. But let's go from there. And hopefully we can get some great callers tonight. Okay. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of the key leaders back during the civil rights movement of the 1960s. He had a dream. Now, his original unedited, his very original first, I had a dream. Have a dream speech. The first live version of it. Did you know that that was actually at Cobo Hall in Detroit?
No, I didn't know that.
It was actually at Cobo Hall in Detroit, and he said, "I believe I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and realize." And it goes on from there, and then. Another time, he says, "Let freedom reign over in the mountains of Tennessee. Let freedom reign in the hills of Mississippi." And he goes on to talk about that it should be based on, abilities, and that it shouldn't just totally be based on, skin color. And I'm not going to get into all that, but I will say this. He was very brave. He was a great Christian who believed in God. And he was. He just meant a lot to this country. He did a lot for it. And he ended up getting assassinated. I won't get into that, but oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Hang on, there you go. So they can hear you better.
I am sorry about that, folks. We just had technical difficulties. We will get that. We are coming back. We are getting back to it. So I was talking about Martin Luther King Jr. and about how he really has meant a lot to this country. I hope that you guys heard a portion of the speech that I gave. And he has admitted before that he was a Christian. He did. I wonder what the world would be like now if we didn't have a Martin Luther King to come out there and say that I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, and that they won't just look at people as, you know, these people are, you know. I will move on from this after I say this. To be honest with you folks, there is one race, the human race. Other than that, aside from that, it's only different, you know, if you have a tail. Are you a puppy? Are you a cat? Or whatever as far as animals. But other than that, there's one race, the human race. All right, now. Auto show. I was at the North American International Auto Show, and Annie, you may recall, I told you before a few times that this is a transitional year, and next year it goes to summer. In fact, June 13th to 20th is next year's dates, folks, of the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. Sorry, we'll have to wait 17 months. Usually it's only 12, but hey, when you're in transition, that's just how it is. Nonetheless, regardless of that fact, we'll talk about this auto show, the one I was just at, that is still ongoing until the 25th. I mean the 27th of January. And
so where is it going to be now, outside?
It is going, it'll be partially outside, but main event will still be at Cobo.
Okay.
It will still be in Cobo Hall, folks, as it has typically been for the longest time. But folks, they had some cars like totally tipped over and various different things like that, like what you want underneath a couple of certain vehicles. And then they had some of the motors out where you could see them. So I got to feel a couple different motors.
Oh, that's sweet.
And one thing I noticed, folks, and we were talking about an electric car. We were talking about electric cars on Wednesday, in fact. And as I was talking about it, I said something about motor size. Maybe I didn't. Well, I took a look. What did I notice? The motor size, as I suspected, was about half the size of a typical internal combustion motor. That we confirmed because I felt one. However, the tranny, is still the same size as the normal transmission would be. So, in addition, all the motors and all that of electric cars don't require quite as much space. So the driver's seat in some of these cars can be closer to like the rest of the vehicle, like the more up front. So some of them are rather sleek. So it is exciting. And we saw a video when we were there in the Ford section about a certain, no, maybe it was a different foreign automaker, but it was about about how it would work with a autonomous vehicle. And it talked about, but that was really cool. I am really excited to see where the industry is going. But we will say this. I will say this. The industry is an automobile of its own. You think about it, it is.
Yeah.
But it is changing majorly. Like I said about the auto show, it's changing times. And after the weather events I saw, I can't be more grateful because the roads going down there, the closer I got to Detroit, the worse it was. Because with the snowstorm, you know, there was more inches the further south you went. Except for some reason, in Midland, we got 3 inches of snow when places like Saginaw only got one, Flint got two. Did you hear about that, about how we got more snow than some of them?
No.
But that's kind of weird with this storm that happened.
It is.
Because usually if it's more Detroit and that and they got all the advisories, normally up here it would all be always be less in that kind of case compared to Flint.
Yeah.
Because generally that's what happens. But then in a case like the upcoming one where it's going to be more north, that's different.
And when did you say that's coming?
Generally, tomorrow night, it's hard to tell how much ice it's going to be and stuff.
Okay.
By the way, listeners, if you're from this area, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, watch out. Now, I'm sure we'll know more about it tomorrow morning, but we could have a few inches of snow. Maybe they're telling us one to possibly three, and possibly some ice accumulation. It didn't say exactly how much, whether it would be less than a quarter of an inch or how much. If it's mainly regular rain, then that will diminish the amount quite a bit. So depending on where the temperature is tomorrow when the event starts, will play a huge factor in what we see. So we're kind of on a line that makes it hard to tell what's going to happen. As for what to plan for, you might have to wait until tomorrow night's show to hear that from me, because It's just hard to tell. Is it clearer tonight than what it was yesterday? Yes.
Yeah.
As far as amount, generally snow-wise, at least how it looks. But everything else we'll have to wait and see. But nonetheless, as far as the auto show goes, there was also a certain car. There was a car that I was in, and it was, this car didn't actually truly drive, but it was like a video game type thing, like beyond a video game, like virtual reality, and we were racing against another driver, and person was like, yeah, I hit a wall a few times, but eventually I got back on track. But I did hit a wall a couple times, but like I said, it was just one where the car kind of moves just a little bit, but other than that, it was more like a video game. But it was still awesome, awesome, awesome. There were actually cars in there that you could kind of drive. There really were. There was a couple of them. One was a Ford, another was something else. And they actually had the space set up for that this year. As there were a few automakers that decided not to come who will hopefully be back next year in June. it might still sound a little bit strange saying auto show June, but not like it did before. Because now, I totally realize, come next January, there won't be a Detroit Auto Show. There will be, but it'll be 5 months down the road. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever gets moved that much. Hardly ever, huh?
Right.
So in a way, I do think that will feel a little weird. In a way, but it'll take a little getting used to. But oh well, at least no more bad roads getting there though. Because that was like I said, that was kind of, you know, just not the same. But nonetheless, it was still good show. Decent amount of people there, I thought, considering the weather. And by the way, I love the People Mover, don't you?
Yeah.
I didn't get to go on it, but I do love it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, folks, it was, but yeah, like I said, it was a great show. Now let's talk about yesterday and me singing and the Word of God. My mom. So yesterday, me, along with my mom, we went to Saginaw and ministered as a team to Living Faith Ministries. And they're in an area of Saginaw that, within a couple blocks of the church, is some of the highest rates of drug use in the whole Saginaw area. I know that's sad. It's very sad that it's like that, but God put them there to be a ministry. But my song, the people at that church, my mom told me that the people of that church were so blessed to have heard me sing and to have heard the word that my mother spoke from the Word of God, as it was just fantastic, very timely. We had a woman fall out in the spirit yesterday morning at the end when my mom allowed people who needed prayer to get up there, come up there, so she and my dad could pray over them. And someone fell out in the spirit. When we have that happening, you know that is not no small anointing. So that anointing was so strong in there. That anointing was so strong in that church. And those people were so blessed. I want to thank you guys for praying. And for those of you that were wondering, what do you go to eat afterwards? Popeyes. Popeyes is good. Good chicken. I'm not going to say finger licking good because that is KFC. I will say good, even though Campbell uses that, but that's for something else. But there is one in Saginaw. There used to be one in Mount Pleasant, but that one closed out. As far as in Saginaw, it's on Holland Avenue, Outer Drive, just west of I-75. Popeye's chicken. Very good chicken. Very good people. And I had some mashed potatoes that were really good. And my biscuit was amazing. Yeah. Of course, my favorite fried chicken ever that I've had was probably what I've had in Chattanooga, Tennessee. at Champions. What did you say about Gus's? Did you hear real good things about Gus's?
I don't really know much about that
place. That's mainly in like ATL and other very big cities.
Yeah, I don't know.
From what you've heard, though, it's mainly just northeast and south, isn't it?
I don't really know.
I wish, like, Detroit or Ohio had one, but I don't think... I know Detroit doesn't. You don't think Ohio does, though, do you?
Yeah, they have turkey chicken now.
Gus's is one of those sit-down fried chicken places. It's called Gus's,
mm-hmm.
World-famous hot chicken. I mean, fried chicken.
Okay.
You don't believe Ohio has it, though, do you? You believe it's mainly, like I said, northeast and southeast, which is not Ohio in either case. Parts of it almost, but not exactly. But nonetheless, one more item we're going to get to. Well, Jenny, or as we know her on this show, the character Donut, she sent me a text last night that said that one of her friends went to a McDonald's and they hooked her up with cheese fries.
At McDonald's?
Yes, in Stanford. There's going to be bacon cheese fries. Unfortunately, they're not going to start until the 29th. I was really thinking they were going to be today.
She got hooked up then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I was like, so, Donut, if you're listening to me, I hate to break your heart to have to tell you that we have to wait until the 29th, at least at this McDonald's, but I'm going to tell you the truth, and that is they're not coming back till the 20. They're not coming out till the 29th. And I know the truth hurts, but at least I'm telling you the truth rather than what you want to hear. And so we'll have to wait. However, everybody still needs bacon regardless. I know, Annie, you would probably disagree with that statement. Oh, the world needs more bacon.
Yeah.
But me, Donut, Cassidy, but most other people who are not vegan, we would all say yes, it needs more. So many of us would, at least.
Yeah, in this country.
Oh yeah, because that's how we roll. Because it's America, and.
And where's the meat?
just to let you know, watch on January 29th. And also a reminder that Coca-Cola is always the best soft drink.
I agree with that.
Always. Because, and here's why. I have to mention that tonight because one of my friends, I mean, you know, folks, Cassidy was telling me today, she's one of my helpers, and she told me, you know, she was saying something about, you know, in her heaven and that, and she said, there's Pepsi. And she said, my heaven has a certain few things, and she said Pepsi. And I had to tell her, you know, there's no Pepsi there. There's just Coke. In my opinion, if heaven has soda, it has a super contract, a lifetime contract with Coke all over. Exclusive Coke freestyles all over the place, everything. There's one little corner of it that's Pepsi, but it's just for Cassidy. It's just one, but there's only like one little fountain or whatever. One. Other than that, though, Coke has the contract. In my book, at least. All right. Enough of that. Let me just check the times. Oh, we didn't do terrible. It's only 7 o'clock, so there is no reason why we don't have time to get in some good word, and then still have enough time to discuss sports. So with that, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight with clean hands and a pure heart. I thank you, Lord God, that you use this show tonight. Thank you that these listeners come tonight. They've come expecting you to work. They come expecting to hear about you, to learn about you and your ways. And I just thank you, God, that you would just use me as one of your oracles tonight. As we study your word, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And, Lord, I make my confession over this show right now. I declare that finances come into the show. I declare that more and more listeners come into the show. In the name of Jesus, we're believing to double, at minimum, the amount of listeners. And I also decree that in your name, that we will have more and more partners, that we will have partners who want to come and help us through your work, Jesus. And most importantly, Lord, I decree that we will have salvation all the time. People getting saved because they found this show. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Wait a minute, where'd my book bag go? Oh, here it is. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Praise God. As I'm turning there, I just want to encourage you guys to be a part. If I sing a song, you sing. Yes. As I'm studying the Bible, you go ahead and study with me. And I exhort you just pay attention and listen. Let the Lord speak. Amen. 1 Samuel 2. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty word in my life. We begin with verse 1. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies. For I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord." Amen. "And there is no one besides you. And there is no rock." Capital R. "There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows. For to him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food. but those who go hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death, and he makes alive. He brings down to the grave, and he raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king, and he will exalt the horn with his anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord on Eli the priest. Verse 12. Now moving on to talk about Eli's sons. Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. Now it was the practice of the priests of the people that whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, and while the meat was being boiled, the servant of the priest would come with a 3-pronged fork in his hand. He would plunge it into the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or the pot, and the priest would take for himself whatever the fork brought up. This is how they treated all of the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burned, the servant of the priest would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." If the man said to him, "Let the fat be burned up first, and then take whatever you want," the servant would then answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I will take it by force." This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, and the boy was wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice to God. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children to this woman to take the place of the one that she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. Hannah conceived and gave birth to 3 more sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew. He grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now Eli, who was very old, he heard about everything his sons were doing to all of Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. Now, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people. If a man sins against another man, God may mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke. For it was the Lord's will to put them both to death. And the boy Samuel continued to grow. He grew in wisdom and in favor of the Lord and with men." Verse 27. Now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? Have you chosen your father out of all of the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to them all together to burn incense and to wear an ephod in my presence? I also gave your father's house all of the offerings made with fire to the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than men by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me, those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your family line, and you will see distress in my dwelling. Although good will be done to Israel in your family line, there will never be an old man. Every one of you that I do not cut off from my altar will be spared. Only by little your eyes that tears, disappears, and to grieve your heart, and all of your descendants will die in the prime of life." And what happens to your 2 sons? Hophni and Phinehas will be a sign to you. They will both die on the same day. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. I will firmly establish his house, and he will minister before my anointed one always. Then everyone left in your family line will come and will bow down before him with a prince of silver and a crust of bread, and will plead, appoint me to some priestly office so that I can have hold and so that I can have food to eat. We'll read. Let me think here. Let me just look and see how long chapter 3 is. Let's read chapter 3 as well. And the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In these days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, he was laying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel. He called, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli, and he said, here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Or as we would say nowadays, go lay down. Go to bed. It's not quite morning yet. So he went and laid back down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up again and went to Eli and said, here I am, who you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called to Samuel a third time. And Samuel got back up and went back to Eli. And he said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go back and lay down. If he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other three times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything that I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." And Samuel lay down in his bed until the morning. And then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything that he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." And the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Amen. 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 All right. Let's talk about this for a while. So, Samuel begins serving through Eli there in the house of God. And obviously, you know, Samuel is growing and growing and growing. Not just older, and, you know, from a child to a teenager to a young adult, and then a little bit older of an adult. Now, yes, he grew in that way, but he also grew in wisdom. Now, it doesn't say how old Samuel was, except for the 3-year-old bull, which I'm going to assume he was 3 at the time. Other than that, through that story of Samuel 2 and Samuel 1 Samuel 3, it doesn't say exactly how old Samuel was. You may wonder, how old was Samuel when God called him the first time? We don't know. I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who have tried studying the ages of these people when these events happen, but it might be hard to tell. I'm kind of curious myself. I don't know the answer to that, though. But, you know, the first couple times he gets up, he goes to Eli. And Eli says, Samuel, my son, go back to bed. Go back and lie down. Basically, and then the next time he said, if God calls you, again, say, speak, for your servant hears. He basically says, now, you don't necessarily have to go to sleep right now, but stay awake and listen to see if he calls you, at least for now. And he stays awake for a while, and that fourth time, God called him. And then to Samuel about Hophni and Phinehas, and then about Eli, and about, you know, Eli's family and that, and wasn't anything about Samuel, and Samuel, I want you to blah blah da 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 da. It was about Eli. Samuel that next morning, you know, when morning time came and Samuel gets up and being a servant, he opened up the doors of the house of God. We'll just say he was an MOH, Ministry of Helps. So he gets up to do his Ministry of Helps work. He begins to work on some stuff. And Eli comes out and says, Samuel, my son, tell me everything. What did God say to you? Don't hide it from me. May God deal with you. Be it ever so severely, if you hide anything. So Samuel's told him everything. And he told him everything, and he says, and Eli says, may it be so as God has spoken. Later on, you see, God made him. He was destined to be a prophet. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, all of it, they began to know and realize Samuel. And you know what? That was the first, when God called Samuel, that was the first time that he actually knew and encountered the Lord. Because in those days, you see, the word of the Lord was rare for that particular time. So now, you know, those of us who hear from God, when we say, God told me this, God told me that, first of all, if you're going to say that, you better make sure it was God talking. Don't just say it if you don't think it was God. Please, don't. Save yourself. You'll save yourself the hassle that way. If it was God, then you can go ahead. And you know, if I'm in a place for a minute in my show once in a while, I've been there before a couple of times when I was closing up, or when I was closing, we had done our final prayer, we're getting ready to get into sports, and God got a hold of me. You want me to sing at one point? Another time, I just flowed in the spirit. until I could tell that I was clear. We should always be keen on God. And we should always be obedient to God. We should always be listening for God. You know that voice? Three, not one time, not twice, three times. Samuel hears a voice. It's an audible voice. Samuel. No, excuse me. Samuel. He gets up, goes to Eli's bedroom. Here you are, for you called me. Three different times, mind you. Three. Eli says, go back and lie down. And that third time he says, if he speaks to you again, you say, speak, Lord. My servant is listening. And sure enough, you know who that was talking to him? God was talking to him. And mind you, it was an audible voice. The way it was written, it was an audible voice. Some people do hear God audibly. Like you can hear it like it was like through your own ears. Other times, it's just through your spirit man. But, and about Hophni and Phinehas, those were two wicked dudes. They were wicked. They did not follow the ways of God. They were wicked in God's eyes. They were. Eli even talked to him and said, you guys need to stop doing what you're doing. And then all they did is continue. All they did is continue. Samuel was up there with Eli serving God, doing the work, being a helper, being an armor for Eli. Yeah, you could say that. He was an armor bearer. And he was just, such an awesome person. And then, of course, he grew in all of Israel. The end of Beersheba began to realize. What I want to say about this, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. He does. If you're struggling, you don't know where to turn next, maybe you don't like your current career and you don't know what you're supposed to do for God, talk to God about it. Well, maybe you are good in your career, but you're like, how can I serve you? But what do you want me, Jesus, to do for you? And he'll tell you. You ask? Because we know God wants the best for you. And Samuel began to be known as a prophet of the Lord. A prophet. And you want to know something else? Hannah got blessed because she gave her one son she had to the Lord. Hannah gave birth to three more sons, as well as two daughters. So she ended up having five kids at home, depending on Hannah did. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to talk some sports. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this word. I thank you for Samuel, that great minister in the Lord, that great prophet that you used in so many ways. I just thank you for this great word. I thank you that we will listen for you and we will heed your voice. And as you tell us to do stuff, we will obey you. We will obey you, Jesus. And I thank you that we will be hearers, doers of the word, not just hearers. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And I give you praise and honor and glory tonight. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. By the way, McDonald's asks, have you had your break today? Have you had your break today? By the way, that was a slogan McDonald's used back in the mid-1990s. I believe that was 95, 96. Doesn't that sound about right, Annie? Like 95 up to like 96?
I think 94 it started.
94 to 96 or
yep.
7?
96 or 97, I'm not sure.
And then, because I know one of those two, they came out with, did somebody say McDonald's? To be honest with you, I like have you had your break today better. I didn't know it back then, but I heard about it much later. But I don't know what they meant by break. I don't know. I think that would have been more relevant to Coca-Cola, to be honest. Don't you think?
It's a way to get people to think like if they have a break from work, they have to go to McDonald's, right? That's clever.
Yeah, could work for Coke, too, because you might be taking a break to drink a Coke. Or for Coke, it'd be, have you had your Coke break today? So it'd actually be both, because I was doing that little few second thing, and I was, you know, drinking my soda there, and then just took a little sip, and then I was like, oh, have you had your break today? But nonetheless, time to get back to the program, and we got. Na 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 na. It's basketball time. I first bring you first the bad news. Michigan, that could have, should have, would have been number one in America. Food block. Well, those of us here in Michigan were dealing with slippery roads on Saturday. Michigan ran into another kind of slipperiness. They had to go to Wisconsin and play the Badgers. And I don't know what happened, but they lost by 10 points. Michigan went to Wisconsin and lost by 10 points. Michigan did. Now they're number five in America. State is number six. However, as far as Big Ten standings are concerned, Michigan is still number one. Michigan State, is still number one. How does that work? You can be number five in America, but be number two in your division, in your conference, and not number one when the number one is number six in America. How does that work? Oh, that's right. It was a conference game that Michigan lost, and the two that Michigan State lost were not conference. Oh, that does it right there. What I mean is that's what happened right there. And State has a game tonight. I will let you know what happened there tomorrow. Michigan State did get a nice, good win. They got a nice, good win a couple days ago to stay undefeated in the conference, because they are still rolling. They have not lost in a while. Pistons have won a couple games in a row, so they are still, they're working their way back into it, currently at number 9 seed. They're number 9 seed. They're going to have to start winning if they want to make the playoffs. And the trade deadline will be coming up kind of shortly, and I think they will need to get another good piece, another good player, if they want to move up the rankings a bit. I'd like to see them move up the ranks a bit so that they don't have to deal with getting swept again for the third time in a row. It would have been if this were to happen. Luckily, they don't have to deal with Cleveland, with our rival Cleveland, because Cleveland isn't good no more because they traded, because LeBron left. So now there'd be a new number one. And there was another undefeated team in America that also lost. Virginia lost to number 1 ranked Duke. Virginia lost to Duke. So it's going to create some shakeups. And I'll let you know what happens with Michigan next time they play. Red Wings, unfortunately, they continue to struggle. They were doing so great most of my life. And then the last couple of years, they haven't done that great at all. It's been sad to watch. I really hope Detroit can start getting winning teams again. I guess Little Caesars Arena hasn't quite been the hostile arena that it's supposed to be. What do you think the blame for that falls on? Is it the fan? I don't think it's the fans. Do you think it's the people who are owning the Pistons and Red Wings right now?
Yeah, it's bad management.
If, from what you've seen of that place, if they had better management with the way that place is set up, could it possibly be some version of a superdome of sorts of basketball or hockey?
Yeah.
It was totally designed for that, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's their goal, I'm pretty sure. We'll see what happens.
And from what you've seen in pictures, do the designs kind of mirror that in a way of places like the Superdome,
yeah,
albeit in a smaller form
for sure.
On it?
Yeah.
Do you think this is more of a Superdome-ish type look than the Palace was even?
Oh, yeah. Especially because the area is in, too.
Though we might not notice it so much, the players sure would.
Right.
And to them, it's going to be more like a Superdome-ish type thing, which I will get to, folks listening, by the way, folks, I will get to that in a minute. But I think, folks, we can blame bad management for that. Ford Field, as good as the acoustics are, they are not. It's just that place just isn't there. It's not the Superdome. It's not the Superdome. You know what I mean?
No, yeah.
It's just they would have to configure some things about it or whatever to make it like it. It can get pretty hard in there though. But Superdome is still harder, I think.
Yeah.
It's just harder. But speaking of which, it is now time to get to the football. And we will start with game one, because I always like to talk about these games, especially this late, in the order of as they occur. So game one, yesterday, you had the Rams, Los Angeles Rams, mind you, because they're not in St. Louis anymore. They moved 2 years ago. They were in New Orleans to take on the Saints. At one point, the Saints were up 13 to nothing. 13 to nothing. And by the way, that Saints arena, dome yesterday was so loud. I think it was just as loud as it was the week before, if not louder. It is to the point now that a small part of the ceiling near some of the media crew collapsed. Some of it kind of fell a little bit. We don't know as to how, what part of the noise might have done that. I hope it wasn't just all, I hope someone wasn't trying to destroy it or anything. I don't want a noise curfew put on that place. That is just awesome. I love that kind of energy. And to be honest with you folks, it would still be cool to get to New Orleans someday, but if I do, there'd be one condition on it. It's got to be during football season. It's got to be. Because I want to see that fan base in person, and just all that excitement, all that hoopla, it in there. It is so awesome, and you can hear more than just screaming. I couldn't tell if it was clapping or whatever, but apparently they're banging on water bottles on stuff and everything else. It is crazy in there. If I had to give a number one stadium right now, I would say Saints. Last week, they had 128 sound noise decibel, 128 decibels. The Lions game I was at, I would say 75, 78, maybe 80. There was a little bit of vibration at one point. But when you have part of the ceiling fall near the media area, I don't know what happened there. I really want to find out. If it was because of the noise, I'm sure there was more than just vibration. I am very sure. You know, I wish there was a way to, like, be in a virtual seat and hear what it would sound like from a certain row in that stadium. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like a bird's eye view, one of the 100, 200, 300, and then like a club seat somewhere to kind of get an idea.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be so cool in a place like that, because and I've heard stories, you know, of people, women even. There was a lady who never cared about sports that much, much of her life at all, but then moved to New Orleans a couple of years later, big time Saints fan. I heard about this on Twitter. It's real. They love their football down there in New Orleans. And do I like them more than Atlanta? I don't know about as far as the Saints, but if it was Lions Saints, maybe that'd be cool. But that place is so awesome. Back to the game though. But Saints were up 13-0. But then, slowly but surely, the Rams start working their way back into it. Slowly quieting the crowd at times. Or loudening it, depending, you know, because once it got close, it got super duper duper loud again. Then they ended up the Saints were moving the ball, and there's like 2 minutes left, and something happened. On a third down, Drew Brees looking to pass. It's incomplete. Oh, there should have been a flag here. No, and there was no flag there, and everyone booed. It was crazy. They ruled there was no flag on the play. There should have been a pass interference call against the Rams. In which case, the Saints could have continued. Try would have scored a touchdown. Saints, Super Bowl. But end up having a punt. Rams down the field. Rams get a field goal. Got on the way. Good. Going to overtime. Overtime comes. Saints. And then it goes away like this. Drew Brees looking. Brees sets, look, throws. Got a man, intercepted. Back to the Rams. Then, a few plays later. Here's the field goal. Looking to send the Rams to their first Super Bowl since they were beaten by Tom Brady and the Patriots 17 years ago. Set. Kick on the way. It's got it. And the Rams are going to the Super Bowl as the Patriots beat the Rams. I mean, as the Saints beat the Rams 26-23 and silence that Superdome crowd. You know, the Saints would have been going to their rival stadium. So, let's go to the AFC. At first, most of the first half of that game, it was looking like, oh, yeah, the Patriots are going to win. There's no doubt about it. The Chiefs aren't really stopping them too much. You know, they're getting a few stops here and there. But other than that, Brady's having his way. The Patriots are rushing the ball well also, which, Annie, I think that's good to see that the Patriots are being a bit more two-dimensional.
I agree.
I don't think they would have been here without that.
No way.
I think they're learning that as Brady's getting older, that they have to.
Yeah.
Why can't the Lions do that? Why? Can someone just, you know, de-age Barry about 28 years or something? I would totally do that. If there was a way to do that, I'd be like, yeah. I'm talking about, not for us. I would do it for Barry before I would do it for me, though.
Are you crazy?
But yeah, because the one I'm thinking of, it would just be for football players.
Oh, man.
Because the football players make all that money, you know? Yeah. So they could better afford it. That's why I said them first. But it would be so cool. So it's good to see that they're being multidimensional now, the Patriots. But the Chiefs come third and fourth quarter. Come in the fourth quarter, 38 points scored. 38. Most between both teams in any of the previous NFC or AFC championship games. That's incredible. And this was the first time ever that both the AFC and NFC games both went into overtime on the same day, which is very incredible. At one point, the Chiefs did go ahead 28-24. Then, you know, the Patriots did what they do best. Back down the field. Goes for a pass from Brady. Scott, touchdown! 31-28. Brady and Chiefs back down the field. Then it's time to kick the field goal. Field goal, kick on the way. Good! 31 all. Next up, overtime. Patriots who got the ball. And they're working their way down the field, gaining about, you know, they're doing that strategic thing, trying to first they get it to third down, then they'll gain some more yards to get the first down. Then they start doing this thing of 15-yard chunk, then to the 5, then to the 2, end zone, baby. Brady, touchdown, Patriots, 37-31. Third time in a row that the Patriots are going back to the Super Bowl. For the Chiefs, more disappointment. After they won their first home playoff game that they won since 1993, they dropped their very next chance they get. Mind you, they were ahead by 4 points for like a minute. And then only the blower. By the way, the Chiefs that are supposed to have the noisiest stadium in the NFL, that was weak compared to the Saints. That was weak, wasn't it? That noise was weak compared to the Saints. And the Saints were just awesome. I mean, that stadium was, it was two fun games. It was as the way it should be. Even though both of the teams that won were road teams, one of the road teams I favored. The other one, I really wanted them to make it so bad. But then it was shattered. So I was 1-1. What does that do to me as far as my overall playoff record? So far, there have been 8 playoff games. There were 8 playoff games. 4, 8, 9. Yep. So I ended up 5-4. So I picked 5 playoff games correctly. 5 of 9. Which is not terrible, but it just goes to show you how hard it is to pick NFL games. Folks, that our time is up until tomorrow night, folks. God first. Until tomorrow night, God first. God always. So long, everybody.